every time I'm here, we try to do something in Mark and just go through the chapters. And now we're on the teachings of Jesus. And Mark isn't a biography of Christ. It's not everything Christ did. It's give us snippets of his life and his sayings and what he did. So help us to come to the conclusion, who is Christ, and help us to really become disciples. So I believe that even though I believe there are probably many parables that we don't even know about that was written, that was said by Jesus, but these were key for Mark as he was recording what Jesus was about, so he can record that to the first century church in Rome. And we started out last week with the first chapter four, chapter one, the parable of the sower. And the conclusion we had was, how can you understand any parable unless you first understand this one? So the parable of the sower was saying that if you really want to understand parables and the stories, you have to do what? Be a listener. Open up your heart, open up your minds, and listen. Listen to God, listen to others. If you are in that place in your life where you are humble enough to listen, then you can understand the other parables. And then he began to teach, I think, two or three other parables. And this, here's what we have here. So what I want to do is take a look at these three parables one at a time and see where they lead us. So a lamp on the lampstand. We did that for the call to worship. So a lamp is hidden, but it really is meant to be disclosed. That's why you have a lamp. The lamp is concealed. It will eventually be brought out for all to see. So what is the lamp? What is the lamp under wraps in Mark? Who is that lamp? What is that lamp? It's the identity of Jesus. If you remember our previous, it's been a while in Mark, we were talking about who is Christ. Even when the demons who recognized him said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," he said, "Be quiet." He silenced them. He told other people that he healed, "Don't say anything about this." It wasn't his time to reveal himself to people. And as we read the scriptures, we think, okay, there was his baptism in Mark, where the voice came and said, "This is my son, listen to him." There was his teachings with such authority. There was the healings. There was miraculous. There were plenty healers in Jesus' day. Plenty healers, plenty people to heal people or claim to heal people, you know. But what made Christ so different is that he was there for the masses. He wasn't there just to the king or the emperor needed someone to heal, you know, or the important people, you know. He was for the masses, for the poor, and that was really unusual. And he did his services for free. It didn't cost. And so that made him like, who is this person who is a healer? Okay, but he's there for the poor people, and he's not charging anything. He's not charging anything. And so we would think that those are the things that would help people to understand who Jesus is, and I'm sure it was, but the main thing was his identity. Who is he? And what would really reveal him, who he is? And so the number one theme in Mark is, who is Jesus? Who does he think he is? So far, Jesus hasn't totally revealed himself, but there are plenty of signs to shed light on his identity. Everyone is asking in Mark, who is Jesus? But it's not time for Jesus to reveal himself to them. They're asking that. Some people are finding out who he is. They become his disciples in that small group. But the crowd, they still haven't found it yet. So what would determine, what would help people to reveal himself? Jesus is the lamp. And like a lamp, he must shine. He would not be hidden or concealed. At the right time, Jesus will rise from under the bowl or bed and will be out in the open for all to see in his glory. So what is the sign? What is the bed? What is the bowl? I think it's the grave, the tomb. And at the right time, he will come out of that tomb and reveal who he is with all his glory. And that is the sign that he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is the sign. Yes, there's the baptism. Yes, there's the healing. Yes, there's the teachings. Yes, there's everything that he did and what he stood for. But the ultimate sign, when he's ready to reveal himself, will be when he comes out of the grave. Because nobody else can do that. So Jesus is the lamp. Then the second part of the parable deals with hearing and using what you hear. The more you expose yourself to Christ, the more you will be given to you. If you limit your exposure to Christ, whatever little you have will be taken away. Now, this doesn't sound like the generous Jesus we've been reading about so far, that was so generous to everybody. This Jesus is saying, you have light, you have information. If you use it, you'll get more. If you don't use it, it's just going to wither away. Think of the example, if you can remember from my Sunday school classes, feeding of the 5,000. They got fed by the fish and the loaves, the few, and he fed 5,000. He fed 4,000 after that. The 5,000 was mostly Jewish, and the 4,000 was mostly Gentiles. And so he fed all that. Think of the healings that happened. Think of he even raised people from the dead. The mother at the funeral procession, and he just touched her son, and he got up. Jairus' daughter, you know, he went and he healed her. The soldier that said, my servant is sick. And he said, let's go. No, we don't have to go. Just say the word. And I know he'll be healed. And that's what happened. Think of all that. All that was given to them. And guess what happened? The people who was fed still got hungry again. Okay? They physically fed. They got hungry again. People who were healed, I don't know if they got sick from disease, but they still had to die. Even the people he rose from the dead still had to die. You know? So think about that. So Mark shows Jesus interacting with the masses. Jesus is in someone's home. Jesus, the disciples, and his 12 apostles. The more intimate the group, the deeper he shares and reveals himself to them. The more intimate the group, the deeper he is. The whole masses got everything. But when he came to the house, when he came to disciples, his apostles, his followers, he shared with them more deeply and opened up what the kingdom of God is about. So how many are responding to Jesus' call? Okay? That's what we want to know. How many are responding to Jesus' call? In chapter 1, we heard a voice in the heaven. This is my son. Listen to him. In chapter 2, you may remember the Son of God has authority to heal and to forgive. The people cried out with authority. He's teaching us. In chapter 3, he's healing and he's opened up the kingdom of God. In chapter 4, how many followers became disciples of Jesus? The thousands and thousands and tens of thousands that were there listening to him. At the end, how many really became our followers? Only a few. Acts chapter 1, it says about 120. That was it. 120. Okay? He was considered a small church. It was no mega church there. All right? 120 at the end. Jesus, the Son of God. All the stuff he did to help people to understand who he is. 120. For the rest, what little, so only a few, for those few, more will be given to them. And it was the Holy Spirit was given to them in Acts, to those few. For the rest, what little they had will be taken away. Jesus is the lamp that cannot be buried or concealed. In due time, he will rise and take his place on a stand so everyone can see his glory. For who he really is. But for now, he is assembling his kingdom. The great movie that I love action movies. So, you know, the Marvel action movies. And they said, assemble, you know. they get the team together. It's time to assemble. And from now, he's assembling his kingdom. The criteria for is for anyone who listens, hears, listens, and is moved enough to become into that inner circle. That's what he's doing. He's doing that today. Those who do, they're just a meager few. Acts said 120 believers started the church. In Mark, Jesus takes the time and effort to reveal more and more of himself and God's kingdom to that small group of people. Now, he did the same parables to everybody, the same teachings to everybody, but the only the ones who came, those few that says, tell me what that really means. Then he opened up to them. So what is the lesson learned? Jesus is with a small group who decide to go deeper in the relationship and become disciples and apostles. It is with them he revealed the mysteries of the kingdom. So the first parable we talked about was the sower listening. Okay. The second is Jesus is a lamp that cannot be buried, but will be put on a stand for all to see. The third is a farmer scattering seed. You're going to tell you what the kingdom of God is about, okay? Let's talk about the kingdom. What can we expect from the kingdom? My former speech therapist, as a speech therapist, when I first got a student with me, I had determined where they are, here are the things we could do, supposed to be evidence-based, you know, and then here's my expectations. Here's what we can expect. If I do these things, I can expect this to happen. And then I measure, did they happen? You know, and why didn't they? And all that kind of stuff and all that blah, 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 blah. But the basic thing was here we are. Here he is right now. Here she is right now. Here are the things that said, if I do these things, these therapy techniques, here's what we can expect, mom and dad. Okay. And then we decided at the end of the year, did it happen or not? You know? And I think the same thing I'm saying here is that the third is about what can we expect to see and to know about the kingdom of God? So we know this is the kingdom. All right. We know this is kingdom. So the first says the farmer scatters seed on the ground. And in this parable, once he scattered the seed, it grows and matures regardless of the farmer. All right. Now those who farm, I grew up with a little garden, you know, a plot of ground. I thought we did a whole bunch of stuff in there, okay? My dad had us weeding and everything like that, you know. But the parable was saying, what really is happening? Because we went into the woods we had in the backyard, and we saw blackberries and blueberries and apple trees and grapes. They had nothing to do with me or my dad. They just grew. So it's saying the seed has the ability to grow on its own. So it grows and matures regardless of the farmer. In fact, the farmer, if he or she is honest, doesn't really know how the seed grows. Nature takes over. In this parable, because it teaches that the kingdom growth is a God thing. That's it. It's a God thing. Jesus in control through Mark. God is in control, determining God's will and purpose. We do our best as farmers, of course, but ultimately we leave it up to God. There's a verse, it says in Corinthians 3:9-9, but at the first part, Paul was talking, and Paul writes, I planted, Apollo watered, but God gives the increase. You know, Paul did his thing, Apollo did his thing, but God is the one who increases. The kingdom of God is a God thing. God is sovereign. And the kingdom of God, once we scatter it, God will do what he's supposed to do. And so the responsibility goes off of us and onto God, where we depend on God, that God would do the growth and God would do the increase. We have to plant. We have to water, okay? We got to do those things, but we understand that the end result is a God thing. So that's a good thing for me. And then the last parable teaches about how the kingdom grows. So once it's planted, how does the kingdom grow? And again, it's a single seed this time, just one seed. It's not planting all. Okay. These are parables that are teaching us about the kingdom. So we take each parable for what it's saying on its own. So it's one seed, and he uses the smallest seed that they could think of in that time. It is a seed. It is planted and grows tall enough to give shade to the birds. Okay, so I said, what is a mustard seed? I see them on my when I cook, it says mustard seed, all right? But I Googled it, thank God for Google, all right? And it says it's a very tiny seed, and the average growth is 5 to 6 feet. The very tiny seed. And it said, by the River Jordan, where Jesus might be teaching, it can grow as large as 20 feet tall. So this, in this parable, we're talking about one seed that grows so tall that we find shade and protection. We find a home there and shade. So who is the seed? This seed can be Jesus or it can be the church. I think it's both. All right. The parable helps us to understand all that God has for us if we listen. So the seed can be the church. So the church is planted and the church grows. It's a God thing. And the church grows. It's small. It's insignificant. It was 120 people after all the thousands, tens of thousands. But it's grow. And if we include all Christendom in this world, it's billions of people that claim to be Christians. Billions from 120. Okay? So as we look at where God is taking us, it's small numbers, all right? But great things can happen. And we might see it in our time. But great things can happen. You know, as we water, plant, and water, God gives the increase in his church universal. Hopefully, we'll experience increase here. Okay? And that's the prayer we have. But remember, God is in control. So the lives we touch through the food bank, through the Boy Scouts, through the Sunday school, through the people who walk into this room, through the members that are here, through the affiliate members, God will give increase to the point that we will not even be able to understand and know. And yes, we pray, Lord, send a few people, extra people here so we can see and we can be encouraged. So as we conclude, let's try to put it all together, okay? So we start, Mark, with the parable of listening. And opening our hearts and being content and being ready to hear from God and to do. And if we come in that mode, in that frame, in that humility, then we can understand who Christ is, better understanding. We can understand the way the kingdom is planted in this world and how the kingdom grows. So we'll see Jesus was executed and buried, but like the lamp, he cannot be kept down. Jesus rose out of the grave and was put on a stand where all one day will acknowledge him as Lord. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every mouth shall proclaim and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Like the small, lonely seed, it was buried, but the seed has life in it, right? And it will rise from the ground to become one of the tallest plants and give house, a home, and protection to all the two birds of the air. And Jesus established his church. It's growing, small and maybe insignificant, but it's growing. And we have trust and faith that that's the way the kingdom works. So Jesus was buried. He lives and establishes a church, a small band. But look at us now. Great things, good news. Good news that we give you. That God is working in his church always, no matter how insignificant it seems. God is doing great things through you, each person here. And you will see, you may not even see it till you get to heaven. But let's pray that he would allow us to see some of the work and the good things and the growth of the kingdom now. Okay? Amen.